And away we go. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, I told you a couple of days ago that St. Bridget's Day over in Ireland is going to be a big deal, and it is.
That you did. That you did.
I read today that it is like replacing St. Patrick's Day as kind of when people that live in Ireland get really, really enthusiastic about holidays. They love it.
So we have stolen St. Patrick's Day away from
St.
the
Patrick's
Irish.
Day is still, yeah, and, we've stolen.
And they're claiming that St. Bridget's is now their day.
St. Bridget Day, February 1st. Becoming the big day. Anyway, we are now having February 1st in the rearview mirror because today is Friday, February 3rd, 2023. It's the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Our radio station is 1030 KVOI, the voice for Tucson's trusted source for news and talk. We're celebrating now into our 13th year on the radio show, 35th year on TV and radio in this market. We have worldwide live listening and all of our podcasts at buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show live line when we do our telephone interviews presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Friday, some media shout-outs. Dylan Smith and his team at TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, thank you for your support over the years. The Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, thanks to Dan Shear and his group down in Green Valley, big supporters of our work. Also supporting our work, Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. The Friday Focus interview is with United States Representative Raul Grijalva. Congressman Grijalva, first elected 20 years ago, a Democrat representing Congressional District number... I always get this mixed up. Used to be
seven.
Seven. Now it's seven.
Seven.
It's now
seven.
Now the seventh.
The fighting seventh.
Yeah, the fighting seventh. Congressman Grijalva serves as chair of the House Natural Resources Committee. Jim Nintzel is with me in studio. Congressman Nintzel, of course, spent more than 30 years with the Tucson Weekly, retiring from the weekly last July as senior editor at Tucson Local Media. Congressman, how are you?
I'm well, thank you, and I'm sorry I can't be there like but we're used to. It's just that I couldn't have gotten there in time today. There was no way, and so this became the best way to talk with you, and I appreciate it. I appreciate your setting it up. I appreciate it.
Well, I got a ton of stuff, and Jim's got some stuff, too. And the water issue, and we talked about this the last time you were with us a couple of months ago. Now we know about some proposals that are going to be forwarded on to the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. California's got a proposal. The Seven State Basin Group, the agency must decide by August how much to curtail river water deliveries. What do you think about this California proposal that would basically, it's huge. It would take more than 50% of Arizona's water. No, excuse me. Arizona and Nevada together, it would take up to 80% the cuts from those two states.
Yeah, and, that's through the whole process of trying to get the basin states, including California, obviously, to come together on a reduction plan, to be honest with you, a conservation plan. And the point has been California and their demands for their the share of the Colorado River water is at the expense of the other basin states. We know that that the Bureau of Reclamation has and we've been urging them that at some point they need to step in and do a fair and equitable water usage plan, management plan for the Colorado. But and then long term, begin to look at the policies and the transitions that need to happen for the future. This is not something that is going to go away. And this is not something that you can wait out. This is not something that will magically turn around. And we can talk about, you know, extending the pipes for desalination. We can talk about all those other things. But the fact of the matter remains that the urgency is now, and the immediacy is in the next decade. And that's before any other pipe dream plan, whatever, regarding other sources of water, particularly desalination, can even be considered a realistic option. So, you know, the Bureau of Reclamation is going to have a lot of pressure. You know, California is a very big and powerful state. And, you know, I hope that our point of view is going to be that it's going to be fair and equitable, and that that tribes are going to have a major seat at the table. We've ignored this. We pretended it would go away. And now we're in the middle of what I think is a critical time leading to a crisis.
Here's an insult.
Congressman, what did you think of former Governor Ducey's proposal to move forward with a desalinization plant in Mexico and pump that water into Arizona?
Honestly, I thought it was a cop out. I mean, as a cop out in the sense that is long term, that diverts attention away from having to deal with the reality in this decade coming up, and people would put their hopes on, okay, this is going to happen. We have treaties to adjust, we have routing to adjust, we have a plan to build, we have to have a cooperative understanding with the government of Mexico. All those things are talked about as something that needs to be done. I mean, these are not going to happen overnight. And so I thought it was a cop-out in terms of diverting attention from the critical issue that was in front of us, and it still is in front of us. So, you know, the Bureau of Reclamation, they're, from my meetings with their director, is they're willing to explore any option. But there has to be some urgency about what we're going to do in terms of an equitable plan for all the basin states. We all depend on it, all of us. And I think that, you know, pretending that there is a silver bullet, that one pipeline of desalination coming from Mexico, from the Gulf to Arizona, is going to solve all our problems, I think is a cop-out. I mean, there's some real hard decisions having to do with assured water, Jim, you know that, having to do with planning, having to do with zoning, having to do with conservation, and having everybody at the table. I think the big mistake the state continues to make is to not bring the tribes to the table that have water settlements already in hand. They have first priority at that water, and not having them at the table as part of the decision making. The Crick and the Gila River were essential in that first plan, that the initial plan. And the contributions that they made to that, they can be essential again, but they need to be stakeholders and they need to be equals at the table, and they haven't been.
Is it unrealistic? Is this just talk by California to slash the CAP to zero? I mean, is that even on the table, Congressman Grijalva?
I see that more as a bargaining chip than the reality. But you know, the issue is, you know, all of us in Arizona, all of us, whether we're in Congress and Governor Hobbs and others, have to have, you know, some understanding of where we want to go with this. And because, you know, like even on the Resources Committee that has some role, that has jurisdiction of the Bureau of Reclamation, it's dominated by my colleagues from California on both sides of the aisle. And Mr. Gallegos and myself are on that committee from Arizona. People from New Mexico are on there. But, you know, the majority, the large contingent from California on both sides of the aisle, you know, that's where it's going to be some very important debates that occur. But as ranking member of the committee now, my urgency to the secretary and to the director of the Bureau of Reclamation is that it's got to be fair and equitable, and that, you know, we can't pay the price in Arizona for every other state. There's an equity here, and that's what we're going to push. And I think we have a good argument. But no, I see it more as a bargaining chip, trying to provoke a response.
You know, you mentioned Representative Gallego. He, of course, has announced that he's running for the U.S. Senate seat, now held by Kyrsten Sinema, who, of course, has stepped over to the stepped away from the Democrats, become an independent, and this seat's coming up next year. Why is it you've thrown your support behind Rubin? Why did you do that?
The simple question is, I've served with the man. I trust him. And that's on a personal level, and on a political level, he's a Democrat, and I'm going to support a Democrat. So, you know, we're not choosing between a couple of Democrats here. We're choosing between a Republican and potentially an independent and a Democrat. And early on, I wanted to stake my support for this Democrat, Rubén Gallegos, in this race. I think he's going to run a good race. I think he's a formidable candidate, and I trust him. And I believe that he's going to be a very good candidate. And I'm going to do whatever I can to help him.
You know, it looks like a big battle in Washington right now is this fight over the debt limit, and you know, whether Republicans will agree to increase the debt limit, I guess we're already taking extreme measures to pay the bills of the nation. Well, do you have any sense of what the Republicans are looking for in this fight?
It's difficult to know. It's really difficult to know. Look, I've been during the Bush administration, the deficit went up. The tax cuts that were made then shot the deficit, and the debt limit had to be raised. Not a peep on the Republican side when they controlled Congress and the presidency. Not a peep. They all voted for it. During Obama, this became, as you remember, a financial catastrophe when the government was shut down, and now. And then we went into the 4 years of Trump. Again, the tax cuts. Again, the highest increase in the deficit of any presidency. And again, everyone voted for it, raising that debt ceiling on the Republican side. Okay? Now we move over to Biden. And we're back to, we don't want to raise the debt limit unless you cut programs. And then here becomes a critical point. What programs do you want to cut? And, you know, giving is it defense? Is it Social Security? Is it education? What are the programs that you intend to cut as part of your budget reduction? No word on that at all. So is it, I think it's politically a payback for the speakership, but it is very dangerous. It is reckless, and if we hit a point where there is we don't raise the debt limit, then it's not only a financial crisis domestically, it's worldwide, and then we begin to see the consequences on the average American time and time again. I would hope that on their side, you know, those members on the Republican side that I talk to that are coming from districts in which Biden won, and are coming from districts in which their frontline districts, about 8 to 22 members on that side, have to think twice, because the effects are going to be really, really, I think, catastrophic, particularly coming out of this pandemic. We had good news today in terms of employment and the number of jobs that were created, over 560,000. And I think if we continue on this path where this is some sort of symbolism about their fiscal austerity, and it plunges us, hypocritically so, it plunges us into a financial crisis, then they're going to own that. They're going to own it lock, stock, and barrel. And I don't know if politically they're going to do that.
Are there areas where you think the United States should be reducing spending as we emerge from the pandemic?
I think the investments that were made were important. I think there are still areas, child tax credit, family leave, that I think still need to be effectuated and invested in. But if you look at areas in which the potential for reductions are, you need to look at contracting. You need to look at the Defense Department, and you need to look at how you solidify for the future earned retirement, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Those can be stabilized, but you know, to say whole scale, we're going to exempt defense, and everything else is on the table, I think is not fair to the taxpayer, and it's certainly not going to be fair to the regular Americans out there.
Huh.
Yeah, but that's a lot. That, you know, that requires a real look at it, a nonpartisan look at what a budget would be or wouldn't be. Right now, to just merely say this majority in the House, ideologically, an extreme, and the extremists in that House that are controlling the direction of the Republicans in the House of Representatives, the 20 or 30 members of the Freedom Caucus that are controlling it, I don't think their interest is in an objective look at the budget and where we're investing American taxpayers' dollars. I don't think they want to do that.
Let me ask one more question on this and then flip it back to Bill. But why didn't Democrats just go ahead and raise the debt limit when they had the opportunity, when they had both the House, the Senate, and the White House?
I think that was a mistake. It really was. And there was many of us urging that we do just that. And you know, if there was going to be consequences to it, that we would to deal with those. But I, for whatever reason, both coming from the White House and from Democratic leadership, it was felt that it was something that it was going to be done anyway. Well, here we are, and it's not being done anyway.
All right, our conversation with Congressman Raul Grijalva. Jim Nintzel with me in studio. All of that continues, but right now, Jim, you know what I want to talk about.
You want to talk about Mona's.
I want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. And I'm sure, Congressman, if you are with me in studio, you would be very much up for a piece of those Danish Kringles, wouldn't you?
Yes, and you know, I really like, there's a bunch of stuff in there I like, but the Kringles are good. Yep, I would take them automatically, you know.
Well, I know you also would probably go for a chocolate croissant, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that would be good. That would be very good.
Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Tuesday through Saturday, they open at 6:30 and Sunday at 7 a.m. They are taking Mondays off, well-deserved now. Their website really looking great. All those beautiful pictures of pretty much everything on the menu. The website's monasdanishbakery.com. My advice, especially on Sunday, get there early. People are, well, they're waiting in line for when Steve and the team open the door at 7 o'clock on Sundays. And they're often waiting at 6:30 in the morning for Steve to open the doors. All right, we'll be back with the Congressman and Jim Nintzel. It's Buckmaster on a Friday. Be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and the Green Thing is Zocalo Village Studios. We are speaking on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, with United States Representative Raul Grijalva in the newly reconstituted Congressional District Number 7. Jim Nitzel's here with me as well, and I want to turn to the Ukraine. These numbers, these casualty and death numbers coming out of the war in Ukraine are just amazing. Some of the new estimates, Congressman, 200,000 dead Russian troops, dead and wounded, and just wave after wave being sent into mainly the conscripts, being sent into the machine guns on the Eastern Front. I mean, this is really unbelievable stuff that we are seeing over there.
Yeah, it's turned into a slog. It's you know, reminiscent of the kind of trench warfare that those parts of Europe are noted for. And the winter is upon us. And the toll on civilian life for Ukrainians is increasing because of the missile and bombing and artillery attacks by the Russians on civilian areas primarily, and which also I think indicates that, you know, I'm the last one to get in line and say this is, you know, we got to keep going at war and war and war. But having said that, I think the Congress and the American people, and I know the administration has said that, has to steel themselves for the fact that it's going to be a slug, but at the same time, I think it's something that we need to continue our commitment, continue the resources, armaments, and humanitarian aid, and do what we can as a nation and keep other nations involved as well, and in a coalition to support Ukraine, because I think it is a critical point. You know, Putin is I think that's the problem when you have authoritarian, dictatorial. There's one man, one ego, and sustaining this whole thing. And I think for democracies across the globe, and certainly for the United States, this battle, this war in Ukraine is it's something that we need to support the Ukrainian people and as much as we can, because I think it's that important on many scales.
Congressman, you say you're the last one, but it does appear as though some of your Republican colleagues, especially Representatives Gozar and Biggs here from Arizona, are very opposed to continuing this support. And I'm wondering if you have any insight into their reluctance to support the Ukrainians.
Oh, I think insight the word with that would be asking a lot, Jim. I think it's the perpetual ongoing battle about Trump should be president, we wouldn't be in this situation, the wink and the nod to Putin in that instance. You know, even when their whole resolution on socialism is a horror, never once was Putin put on there. Never once was North Korea put on there as authoritarian examples and dictatorial examples of the evils of a dictatorship. None of that. And it's been kind of like a knowing wink and nod that if we were in charge, I think if they had their way, the war in Ukraine would be over, because Russia would have already taken care of that and conquered it.
You know, there's also the state attempted to get this mega grant to widen I-10, that last stretch between Tucson and Phoenix. I'm sure you're familiar with it, where it goes down to two lanes there. And I'm wondering, do you have any insight, again, into why the state was not successful in acquiring those dollars? They've I think, put up $400 million in state tax dollars, and I guess now are looking to possibly fund it, the rest of it, from the state. But I'm sure they sure wish they'd gotten that federal grant.
Yeah, we again, the issues of public safety and the movement of people and services and goods back and forth, we supported the bet. But I think there's another side to the coin, and that side is that we need to make a transition away from almost entirely making this a fossil fuel dependency over and over again, and so exploring other clean energy options I think is something that needs to be done, because that flow of goods and services is essential. But I think if there's any rationale or any insight, is to use the investments that we have in the bills that we passed to try to move along the transition to clean and renewable energy. And that's, I think that's part of it as well.
Are you talking about a train between Tucson and Phoenix?
That kind of clean, alternative, reliable and fast transportation. And that's a bigger investment, but it pays off dividends generations from now.
And do you think we'll ever see that train? I mean, it's been talked about for as long as I've been here, and as long as you've been here too.
I don't, you know, maybe Jim had to say that. Maybe not in our time, but I think it will. But I think the planning and I think the initial investment has to occur really soon. And, you know, that's something that people are pushing and that I support.
All right, let's get back to politics, Congressman. Do you think President Biden is serious when he says he will seek a second term?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think he's always said that I'm gonna, you know, that fate is a big determiner in what he does. And if he is saying that I'm going to seek a second term, I think everybody should take him seriously.
Let's go to the live line. Jim, we've got a caller. Michael would like to talk about regenerative energy. Michael, you're with Congressman Grijalva. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Are you aware of regenerative agriculture through a movie on Netflix called Kiss the Ground?
I haven't seen the movie, no.
You might want to watch it. When I talk about regenerative energy, I'm talking about switchgrass produces more ethanol than corn because corn's a food. And then we got soybeans, and soybeans produces what? Biodiesel. So we could get off our reliance on foreign oil just through agriculture.
Hmm. Okay. Any thoughts on that, Congressman, for Michael?
Michael, you know, I think one of the things we try to do with the Inflation Reduction Act and the CHIPS Act, particularly in the CHIPS Act, was to incentivize exactly what you're saying, to begin a serious R&D and invest and incentivizing the efforts to create energy sources, fuel sources away from fossil fuels. The investment and the subsidy has always been directly at fossil fuels. It has always been in the extraction purely area. And the R&D has never matched. The subsidies have never matched what big gas and big oil get, and mining. And so what I'm suggesting is that what we're trying to suggest in the CHIPS Act is make the investment in what you just said, alternative, renewable, and clean energy and fuel sources. But you need to put the R&D into it, the research and development. And you need to incentivize that so that private investors feel that there is an opportunity there to develop that whole industry and that whole business.
Congressman, were you satisfied with the outcome of the January 6th committee?
Overall, yes. I mean, the facts are there. Should there have been a more profound ask of the Justice Department in terms of Trump and some of his associates? I think those could have been more profound and pointedly asking the Justice Department to both investigate and follow up on that as potential criminal activities and conspiracy activities. I think that still needs to be done. I mean, it seems to me that everything is out there. More continues to be out there, and those facts are there. And I think I think Attorney General Garland, I think he's sometimes too much of a judge and not enough of a prosecutor. And I think we're in a situation where we need to follow through entirely. And I understand there's political pitfalls to doing that, but at the same time, what happened January 6th and what led up to it, and what has followed up with the political violence that we see going on across this country, that I think this is one method in which we try to create some balance again.
All right, we have the State of the State. State of the Nation address coming up. President Biden will be delivering that next week. What do you think the theme will be, Congressman Grijalva?
I think he's going to talk about the legislation that has been done, and now it's being implemented, and that money is going out to states and to communities across this country. I think he's also going to talk about what needs to be done. I hope that he mentions, after what we've been through the last 2 weeks in terms of criminal justice, about some steps, some pragmatic steps to start moving in a direction that that begins to deal with this very, very, very real issue. And I hope that there is no back off on his commitment to the transition on climate change. I hope that he says something about that. But I think it'll be, and I think there'll be some defiance as well. We have come this far, and I think that defiance will be around the debt ceiling.
And before we go, how worried should we be about the debt ceiling, do you think, Congressman Grijalva?
I am counting on one time that I've been on forward, Democrats with 30, 40 Republicans raise the debt ceiling. I see that scenario again, and I hope it happens, because all you need is 11 or 12 Republicans to come with the Democrats, and it'll pass, and then the Senate will pass it. And that's the scenario that I'm looking for. You know, before we part, let me just say, the other day when I was home, I went to Jim Colby's memorial, and represented there were Senator Kelly, Gabby Giffords was there, Hobbs, Mr. Shattuck, former Congressman Shattuck, and others that I got to say hello to. My point being that in that crowd were people that I had crossed swords politically with in Southern Arizona for many years. John Munger, Janie Cox, and the list goes on. And they were around campaigns. There were fights over ideas. And yet, there we were in one room for this fine gentleman, Jim Colby, acknowledging his work and respecting him. And, you know, that I think that that's what America is looking for, that we're going to cross swords politically. We're going to have differences philosophically. We have different visions of where we want this country to go. But what has happened with extremism is that it's shut the door on that kind of discussion. And I think that that is the biggest danger that we have from the bigs and the go-stars of this world, who want to make everything about a grievance, a cultural grievance, forgetting the day-to-day reality of the American people. And what I saw in that room was not, oh, we all agree on everything, but some of the kindest people that to me, when I got to Congress 20 years ago, were Ed Pastor, Jim Colby, John Shattuck, and Senator McCain, in terms of being gracious, offering their help. And, you know, one doesn't forget that, but we don't see that anymore. And I think that to me is what the American people don't get to see. And I think that that's the biggest loss, that we've let this shrill extremism control the narrative and keep us from getting work done. I think that's the sad. But that memorial to me was a real indication of what Southern Arizona and can do, and how we in the past we've been able to do things together.
You know, I'm way over time, but I do want to say that your office has been calling for Valentine's for veterans. Could you give it to us really quickly, Congressman?
Yeah, Cassandra and my office and a couple of the interns started a while back collecting Valentine's from schools and from the kids, and then sending them to veterans wherever they might be stationed. And it's been received very well. The veterans that receive it are so grateful. And the kids that put it together, if you read some of the things that they put into their Valentine's, it's really heartwarming. And it's a kindness that I'm glad that the staff came up with. It's very good.
And the deadline, by the way, is Friday, a week from today. Drop off or mail the cards to Congressman Grijalva's Tucson office. So
thank you.
There you go. We're going to have to let you go. And thanks for
Anytime.
Talking. Yeah, thanks. Stay safe.
Take care, Jim.
Okay. All right, we'll take a break right here. I've got going to have very little time with Jim Nintzel, a couple of quick comments. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Welcome back. Our thanks to Congressman Raul Grijalva. Jim Nintzel's with me. Jim, we went a little longer than I had planned, but there
we're
was
practically in weekend watch territory.
We're getting close. You know the format. I do have a couple of minutes, and I'm just curious. You brought up the Congressman Gallegos to Congressman Grijalva, who is on board.
He is. And I think a lot of Democrats are kind of fed up with Kyrsten Sinema. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's probably the reason she stepped away from the Democratic Party and went independent. But
so she didn't have to be primaried.
Yes. Yeah. But now you look at the polling and it doesn't show her doing very well. Third place in a three-way race between a Republican and Gallego. They I think, sometimes toss in Kerry Lake's name as a stand-in for a MAGA Republican there. Mm-hmm. And the polling is you know, it's pretty fascinating, and we don't know. I mean, I think Ruben Gallego will probably hold most of the Democrats. Mm-hmm. I think a Republican, if it's Kerry Lake, I mean, Kerry Lake would have to resign from her fake governor's job under Arizona's resign to run law to run for the U.S. Senate, if that's what she chooses to do. But I think, you know, the issue is, you know, where do the independents go in a race like that? And do they end up leaning more towards a Republican, more towards a Democrat, or do they fall into Sinema's corner? And, you know, we've seen weird three-way races like this before, and the outcomes are never predictable. So, you know, we're just going to have to wait and see, and, you know, the kinds of campaigns that people run and everything else. But I think it makes Arizona a state to watch, without a doubt. It has been, obviously, in all the past cycles. But, you know, there's the claim that we're a purple state now, and I'm not sure I buy that entirely. But I do think that the voters have shown that they are not really excited about Trump Republicans. Mm-hmm. Trump lost, Kerry Lake lost, the whole slate of Trumpist candidates lost with Secretary of State's race and the AG's race and all the rest of that. So, you know, I just have to say that as a political junkie, that's going to be a pretty, it's going to supply a lot of fixes for us over the next year and a half.
And you wonder how much support Sinema would get from Republicans if Kerry Lake was the nominee. Maybe those that were not happy with Kerry.
Exactly. And we saw that there, you know, there was a percentage, and I don't know how high that percentage was, but it was high enough for Katie Hobbs to win that race.
Right.
When you look at the patterns of voting, you can see where Republican precincts who voted for, say, Tom Horn or Kimberly Yee did not vote for those other four Republicans. So it's clear that there's some issues there among for those kinds of candidates. But we also don't know, you know, a lot of it depends on national mood and where other things are at that point. And I don't think anyone can predict where we're going to be in November of 2024 at this point.
And we don't know if Donald Trump will go a third party route.
Right, or be the Republican nominee,
yeah.
You know, so it's all, there's a lot
still
of,
to come,
lot of pieces to move around that chessboard between now and the election.
Okay, Jim, always good to see you, and we'll talk soon.
Always a pleasure, Bill.
All right, the Buckmaster Show, continuing in the green thing, Zocalo Village Studio. Our thanks to Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management for being the sponsor of our telephone live line. We will take a break right here. Speaking of the live line, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is next.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you interested in sailing on an all-inclusive luxury cruise, trekking on an expedition adventure, or relaxing on a tropical beach? Then join us on February 26th at the Hilton El Conquistador as Bon Voyage Travel hosts our free travel showcase. Over 35 representatives from the world's best travel brands will be on hand to help you discover all the world has to offer. The Bon Voyage Travel Showcase, February 26th. Be sure to visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC, so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
What do you say we stir it up and get into the weekend with Weekend Watch with dedicated foodie Matt Russell. Weekend Watch presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Just looking at the weather forecast, it's going to be a really nice weekend. Not only here in Tucson, but over in Silver City, almost 70 degrees on Sunday, which is great weather to get out and do some hiking. Only about a three-hour drive to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning now by visiting southwestnewmexico.org, where you will find out about great things to do, terrific places to stay, and some wonderful places to even dine in historic Silver City. Speaking of dining, here is award-winning Tucson publicist and the longtime host of Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show, Matt Russell. Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, and just hearing Ryan Hansen's commercial for the travel show, one of my favorite things to do every year. I am so eager to learn all the trends and where we're going to be going around the world this year. This is going to be fun.
Thanks for putting in the plug, because now I can plug the fact that Ryan and I kick off the show at 11 o'clock on that Sunday up at the El Conquistador, talking about travel trends. And I think you might have been in the audience last year, as I recall, and you enjoyed it very much.
I haven't missed one of your events with Ryan. Always entertaining, always informative, and I tend to spend money every single time I go to one of those shows. It's all very, very well worth it when I plan my cruises.
Could it be a year already since the launch of the Century Room?
Can you believe it? A year ago,
since
I first broke the news right here on Weekend Watch about the opening of the Century Club downtown. Of course, Tucson's dedicated jazz club right there at the Hotel Congress, and they're preparing right now to celebrate their first anniversary at an event this evening at 7 o'clock. So anchoring the event will be a jam session featuring a number of musicians that have each performed at the club over the past year, including Bryce Winston, Susan Artemis, so many of my favorites. And, of course, this jazz club offers some pretty spectacular sips and snacks to pair with the music. And Bill, if you're like me, you must have a martini in hand while getting into full-on jazz mode. Happy first anniversary to the Century Club. It's tonight at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, time to mellow out with that martini. How we doing on the dinner theater scene these days, Matt?
Yeah, well, reigning Iron Chef of Tucson, Ken Foy, is going to be hosting a magic and mystery dinner theater tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. at his restaurant, Dante's Fire, which is on Grant Road, just east of Tucson Boulevard. Now, you'll enjoy a special three-course gourmet dinner while experiencing an exclusive magical theatrical performance, which is billed as a hilarious mix of magic and mystery and comedy. Now, Bill, these performers are national caliber. They've appeared on countless national television shows. So there's no better time than this weekend to experience a crew like this right here in Tucson while enjoying this great cuisine from Chef Ken Foy. Now, as far as magic goes, the only thing I've mastered is making large amounts of food disappear right before your very eyes, but I think I'll leave the rest to trained professionals. 861-4800 is the number to call to reserve your seats for tomorrow's event.
How about a Sunday brunch along with learning some things about culinary skills?
Yeah, you bet, Bill. I know how much you and Ann just love Sunday brunches, and there are several brunches around town that have earned that Buckmaster seal of approval. But sometimes I just love hanging out at home after church and enjoying brunch on my back patio. Well, thanks to our friends from Class Pop, you can pick up some tips and techniques at their sweet and savory Sunday brunch cooking class. It's this Sunday from noon to 2 at Moto Sonora Brewing Company, and that's on South Park Avenue. So their chef is going to offer a fun-filled, interactive experience that's going to guide you through making some great Sunday morning fare while you sip, of course, your favorite beers. No cooking experience is necessary. You can just kick back and watch. You can roll up your sleeves and get busy. Either way works. The class is $55 per person, and you can get all of the info at TucsonFoodie.com.
Have a great weekend. Thanks, Matt.
You do the same, Bill. Thanks.
The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Be well, everybody. Stay safe. Have a lovely weekend.